Hello, and welcome to A Writer's Journey. I'm Sarah Whitford, and my co-host is Terrence Zepke. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about five things you need to know about creating your book covers. Now, while I've only published one book so far, and I do have another one in the queue, you know, that hopefully will be coming out in the fall, I've created a lot of different book covers. Terrence is, you know, is a longtime author. She has 25 titles under her belt now, so she knows a bit about book covers too. But as far as the technical aspects go, that's probably something that I will be able to speak to a little bit more, don't you reckon, Terrence?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you've got all the design experience and all, so I'm going to let you lead this discussion.
Oh, that's fine. Well, okay, so I'm just going to just jump right in here. The very first thing that we want to make sure that you are thinking about, and first of all, I'm going to assume you're independently publishing your book if you're listening to this episode, because let's face it, if you are being traditionally published, the publisher is going to decide on your book cover, and so this will be out of your hands. You'll look at the final design, I'm assuming. How does that work, Terrence, if you're working with a traditional publisher?
Traditionally, you can have some input into it if you have some strong ideas, but that doesn't mean that they're going to go with that. But usually you don't even see the book cover till you'll get a mock-up.
Okay.
And they'll show you what it's going to look like. And in my experience, there was one book cover that I really just didn't like, that my publisher picked. And I had said to my editor, I said, you know, this is just not how I envisioned this book. And she said, well, I'm sorry you feel that way. And, you know, that was kind of
the end
of the matter, you know, because they feel like, you know, they have all the knowledge. They've got marketing people and experts, and, you know, they'll tell you we've been doing this for 30 years and blah, blah, blah. So they just feel like, you know, they know better what's going to sell.
Yeah.
And maybe they do. So like you said, though, you don't have to worry too much in traditional publishing. You might get a little input, but you're not going to have to, it's not going to fall on your shoulders.
Right. That's exactly right. So depending on how you look at that, it could either be a positive or negative thing. I mean, if you're willing to tackle the job, or if you have the money to hire a cover designer, you know, it'll be fine if you're independently publishing, but there are some things you need to consider. The number one thing I think you need to consider as an independent author publisher is you want a professional quality cover. I have seen some book covers that just, I have to shake my head, Terrence. I wonder, you know, what did they make them in? Did they use Microsoft Paint or something? And just, you know, I don't know, but it breaks my heart because I'm thinking it doesn't matter how good the content is in your book. The cover is the first thing that anyone is going to see. And so you need to make sure that your book cover is a professional quality job. And if you don't think that you're going to be able to manage creating that cover yourself, and I'm going to explain some tools that you can use to try to sharpen your skills on that or to tackle that yourself if you don't have the financial resources available to hire someone. But if, you know, you need a professional looking book cover. That's just the end of it.
And, you know, Sarah, I think a lot of people, I see more of the things that make me cringe on ebooks. And I don't know if it's people just feel like it's not as important when it's not in print.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if that's your experience, but mine, I see a lot. Sometimes I just see a title.
That's
There's
right.
no graphics or anything. And it's like they just feel like it's a $2.99 book or whatever. So I don't know what their thinking is.
Yes.
But but I think no matter what format, no matter and what genre, no matter what you're doing, that, yeah, you need to invest a lot in the, especially because if you think about it online, it's even more critical of your visual than it is in a bookstore where people can thumb through it and all, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I think you're right about the ebooks. A lot of times have kind of amateurish looking covers. I have no doubt that what's happening is people are just using, you know, whatever free graphic software they have on your computer, or maybe they download, you know, or purchase Photoshop Elements or some, you know, software like that. They don't really know how to use it. They don't really understand image quality, whether it's for, you know, print or for web and so on and so forth. But the thing is, if you're designing a book cover, for instance, and you're using your laptop, you have a small screen. someone like me, I have a 27-inch monitor on my desk. I mean, it's massive. And so, I mean, there are larger monitors, of course, but it's a pretty huge monitor. And nevertheless, if you are looking at a book cover on a much larger screen, the image is probably going to be bigger on that screen, and which means any little imperfections in the image quality or the font, the text, how it renders in the file, it's just going to look bad. It's going to blur out. It's not going to look good. And so that number one, you need a professional quality cover. There are different definitions for what that means depending on whether you're doing print or whether you're doing an ebook. But my opinion is, and for the most part, if you have a book, I don't see why you wouldn't release it in both formats unless it's just so small that it would be ridiculous to print it as a print book. But if you're going to be doing a print book cover, for instance, here's one of those technical things, Terrence, that don't let your eyes glaze over. But for those of you who are interested in knowing, this kind of information, a professional quality book cover is going to need to be a certain resolution. You're going to need to make sure that your image, first of all, that you're working with a high resolution image, which means 300 DPI or greater. You're going to need to make sure for print that, for instance, you're using that you're making sure that the levels are where they need to be so that you don't have darks that print way too dark, because sometimes when you're looking at it on a computer screen, it's going to look lighter because of the light coming behind it from your screen, blacks especially, dark colors especially. But when that book goes to print and it's being printed on a CMYK printing press, which is just a typical method for book printing, or any kind of printing for that matter. CMYK, it stands for the cyan, magenta, yellow, and then K stands for the black. Whenever you're designing something for print, those blacks are going to print, the dark colors might print too much, and so it will end up looking like, I don't know, it almost end up looking like the ink will smudge because the ink will just be too heavy in certain places. On the other hand, if you're not using a rich black on areas that should be completely black, then the black is going to end up looking more like a gray. So you need to learn about some of these things before you attempt the cover design for a print book. For the ebook, you don't have to have the 300 DPI images, but you still need to get a nice large image to start from. And the reason why is, when you shrink an image down, the quality, will be better as far as it's, you're not going to lose quality by shrinking an image down as far as the crispness of the image. However, if you try to start working from a small image and then you try to blow that up, it's going to blur out and that's not going to look very good. And this, with text and with photos, it's a recipe for disaster. So, professional quality. I'm going to put some information in show notes about some basics there, and as well as some resources where you can learn more about the expectations for print quality versus ebook quality. And so, anyway, are we ready for the next point, Terrence, or did you have anything you wanted to add on that?
Oh, good Lord, no.
Okay. Again, I apologize. This whole podcast episode is not going to be that technical, but I'm just mentioning that to let you know. This is not a simple matter of you just finding a picture that you like on Google Images and then putting text over the top of it and saving it. And then you're going to have a professional quality cover because it's not going to work that way. And not to mention, if you just grab an image on the internet, you might very well be in copyright violation. So we're going to talk about that, I think, when I discuss number four. But okay, number two. The number two thing that you really need to consider about your book cover is you want to make sure that your cover is the title of your book is easy to read, even when it's shrunk down as a super small thumbnail. Because let's face it, most of the places where people are going to see your book cover are either going to be on websites like Amazon.com or Goodreads or, other online booksellers, or maybe they might see it in a, the booksellers might see it in a catalog.
A catalog, yeah.
Right. And so
Or on your mobile phone or a device or
yes,
something, yeah.
yes, yes, absolutely. And if you have really small text on your cover, or text that, because it's flourishy cursive, that's really intricate and fancy, and it might look pretty to you on the screen, but when you shrink that down, nobody's going to be able to read that. cover. You know, they're going to have to rely on reading the text description, but some people might not bother to go that far if they don't even, if the cover doesn't grab their interest. So that is definitely a very important.
That's a good point.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And as far as fonts go, that's not to say you can't use a cursive font. I mean, I think there are, you know, we were talking about one earlier today, Terrence and I. What's the book by J.K. Rowling we were discussing?
Oh, Casual Vacancy.
Right. I mean, I'm not really sure why they did that cover like that. I don't personally like that cover with the red with that cursive font. But nevertheless, you can do a cursive font. You know, mm-hmm. there are a lot of books that have cursive fonts that look nice and clear, and you know they fit the mood of the book, but and they're still easy to read even when you shrink them down. But then I've seen others that are using some sort of a cursive font that just it doesn't translate well when you shrink that book cover down. So in fact, you know what, the Smuggler's Gambit, the word "the" in the Smuggler's Gambit is cursive, but I mean I think it's pretty obvious what it is even when it's shrunk down. I wouldn't write the whole title in that font because it would be a mess. You wouldn't be able to read it, but just the word "the" I think works. So anyway, did you have anything you wanted to add on that one?
No, I was gonna say, are we up? I'm gonna wait to see what you talk about because you're probably going to cover this, so I'll let you go on.
Okay. Yeah. All right, well, that anytime you want to just throw something out there, by all means, because I can shift things around. But okay, so easy to read as a small thumbnail, that's number two. Okay, number three, you need to consider your genre. My novel series is written as historical fiction adventures. So I am trying to, you know, I did some research before I did the cover for The Smuggler's Gambit and now the sequel, Captured in the Caribbean. I did some research. I know what, for instance, newspaper text looked like in the 1700s. So I tried to find a font that mimicked that same type of font that you would expect to see from that era. And so you want to think about the kind of book that you're writing. You might want to look at other book covers in that genre, wouldn't you say?
I would say look at other book covers in that genre that are selling well.
That's a good point. That is a very yeah. good point.
And I certainly think it does depend on your genre, because I think you got to be careful about getting too cutesy when you're writing nonfiction.
Yes.
You know, and so it really does depend whether you're writing a children's book, whether you're writing a YA book, whether you're writing sci-fi. You know, it really, your font would and your graphics, all of that would be tied into what your genre is. So that's an excellent point.
That's right. And, you know, speaking of nonfiction books, don't assume, well, nonfiction or fiction for that matter, not all book covers need a photograph, you know, so don't feel like you have to right. find a photograph for your cover, regardless of what it is. Sometimes, you know, it's good to be minimal on your cover, to scale mm-hmm. back, because it fits what you're trying to achieve. Sometimes you want something that looks, you know, really businesslike and professional and clean. You know, sometimes you want something that is a little more cutesy. You just don't want to get so cutesy. I mean, for goodness sake, please, please, nobody use Comic Sans font on anything you do ever, ever, ever. That's that, you know, that's that comic book type font that has been packaged with Microsoft, you know, Windows operating systems since, I mean, forever. But, you know, occasionally you'll see people use that font on things, rarely, but you will occasionally see it, usually when it's something that has to do with children. But there are so many fonts that are so much better to choose than that one. That one just screams amateur. So please don't ever use that font. Okay. All right. So considering your genre, I think we've covered that one pretty well. All right. The fourth thing I want to talk about is the tools that you will need if you want to design your own cover. And not just use, for instance, a cover template, because CreateSpace, I think, has some sort of a cover template generator where you can just, I don't really know much about how this works. Do you know much about how this works?
When I did my Happy Halloween, the party planning book there, I did it as an ebook only, and okay. I used KDP to create the cover. And so I used the cover creator and did a very basic cover okay. for it, because, you know, it has a long title. Uh-huh. So I knew that was going to take up a lot of space, so I didn't want it to be too busy. And like you said, you know, when you're shrinking it down and you're seeing it as a thumbnail and all, you still want to be able to read this big old long title.
That's right.
So I wanted to make sure that I did that. So
did you find that, did you, when you used that, did you find that template creator thing, or did you find it was easy to use? Did you find any limitations with it?
Well, you know, for me, I found it easy to use, so that speaks volumes.
That says a lot, folks, yeah.
It really does.
Terrence can write all day long. She is the idea person. She has more ideas than anybody I know. She is great at coming up with lists and all kinds of things, but tech stuff, yeah.
That's just not my forte.
That's not her thing. Yeah.
But I'm completely hapless, but at least I know that.
Yes.
Some people know enough to be dangerous, but not me. I'm happily stupid, ignorant in these things, but I really have good ideas if I can usually tell them to somebody, and if they have any kind of vision or creative talent, then they can run with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know what I want, and I know what good, for instance, with book covers, I know what works. I've been in the industry a long time, and I've got a good eye for this kind of stuff, and I just can't usually get there myself.
Uh-huh.
But for the Halloween one, like I said, that was a self-published book. That was just a little project. That was my baby there of something I wanted to do. And it has a long title, as you know, Sarah. And it's called Happy Halloween, Hundreds of Perfect Party Recipes, Delightful Decorating Ideas, and Awesome Activities.
Uh-huh.
So the point being, with a title like that, that's pretty much your cover.
Yeah.
You know, that and my big old long name, you know, so then you want to have just sort of a basic image that catches the eye.
And you have the adorable, you have the adorable pumpkin, which really sets the tone for the kind of book. This is not a gore fest, you know, Halloween book. This is not that kind of
It's just, it's an eye-catching, fun little image that complemented the title and all that. So that was... and I found it easy to use. Now, I could see where there would be restrictions when you're trying to do a bit more than what I did with this book cover.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty basic, your options. But now, to that degree, there are some options where you can put in your own front cover, or you could put in your whole PDF.
Right.
If you're doing a print book and stuff.
Which is what I did. You know, of course I did. I designed my own cover and uploaded the, you know,
but you've got to know what you're doing,
right,
or you've got to have hired somebody who will then give you the file that you could upload and do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess, are you going to speak to that, I'm assuming, about hiring? For people like me that have already fallen asleep by now, maybe we can wake them up and tell them that there's hope.
We will. But in number five, I want to cover a few more things in this particular point. But in number five, we're definitely going to get to that.
So,
some resources that you are going to want to become familiar with if you want to do your own book cover. First of all, there's some software that you will probably want to be familiar with. Adobe is the master corporation for any kind of design software, as far as I'm concerned. Photoshop, Illustrator, InDesign are all, you know, three great pieces of software. They're all part of the creative suite. Fortunately, Adobe nowadays has, it used to be that you'd have to fork over $1,000 for the suite, you know, or however much it costs, you know, from edition to edition. Now they have a month-to-month subscription option for creative suite software, which means you can pay a monthly subscription and have access to their whole suite of products, which is, you know, that's amazing. If you only need, for instance, to use the product for the month that you're doing your book layout, then that's all you would have to pay is that amount. And I'm thinking it's like $30 for education, you know, for education users. But if you're using it for a professional, I think it's like $50 or $60. Don't hold me to that. I need to check on those numbers. I have the full software, so I don't do the monthly. But nevertheless, the Photoshop, everyone's heard of Photoshop, okay? Photoshop is going to be what you would want to use if you were going to have, you know, bring in a photograph from, let's say, there's a site that I really love to use that I love to get high quality, gorgeous graphics from. It's called Dollar Photo Club. Terrence actually is the one who told me about that because she was using it to get images for her blog, and I just think it's brilliant. We'll link that in the show notes. But let's say you find a gorgeous high resolution image at Dollar Photo Club, but let's say you want to tweak it a little bit, maybe add, you know, some let's say you want it to look like an image that's been burned around the edges or something like that, or let's say you want to brighten it up or make it black and white or what have you, you would then bring that into Photoshop, and then you would be able to make all your photo modifications there. You can also lay out text in Photoshop, but I have found through my experience that it's actually better if you're going to use Photoshop to do the photo part of the cover, or the graphic part of the cover, to actually bring that over into Adobe InDesign and then use InDesign to do the image layout, the text layout on the cover, because the text prints a lot more crisp if you do it that way. Another piece of image software that you'll want to become familiar with possibly is Illustrator. Illustrator would be more for using EPS or vector graphics. In other words, line art. We're not talking about photos. We're talking about images that are scalable. Let's say that you wanted to have just a simple image of a sailboat, just a line art, blue and red sailboat on a very crisp, clean white cover, with some crisp, clean text. But, you want to be able to have that boat be something that's high quality, that's scalable. Let's say it's something that you might even use as a logo at some point. Those would be best modified using something like Illustrator. Plus, Illustrator, of course, is fantastic for those amazing digital artists who are able to create wonderful, illustrations, paintings, drawings in Illustrator. I am not skilled in that respect. I do not do drawing in Illustrator, but I do definitely use it for working with vector graphics. So that's another piece of software. But again, the text I would drop into the cover using InDesign. And these days, as I said, since you can get the monthly subscription to the Adobe Creative Suite, you'll have access to all of these pieces of software with that subscription. So you can see which ones you'll need for your specific project. Incidentally, InDesign is also ideal to use for doing the interior book layout, but we'll talk about that in another episode, maybe not even this season. I don't know if we'll cover it this season, but at the very least, I'm sure I'll do a post about it at some point on my blog. I mentioned CreateSpace, I mentioned Illustrator, I mentioned Photoshop, I mentioned InDesign, I mentioned Dollar Photo Club, Canva. That's another really good site. Have you been to that site yet, Terrence? Canva.com?
No. I've heard a lot about it, but no, I haven't.
Okay, Canva.com will actually let you create a wide variety of high-quality, professional-looking images. For all sorts of things, whether you're designing a poster or, just all kinds of things. You might actually be able to design a book cover in there. You can use their free elements, but you can also pay for, individual elements for $1 a piece to create your graphic. And then you can it'll save your file, and then you can download your file. They have a wide variety of fonts. They have suggested layouts for things so that they look really nice and professional. And so that will be another thing that you might want to become familiar with if you're just not comfortable trying to use Photoshop or Illustrator. Canva might help you be able to bypass all of that. The only thing to keep in mind is that you're probably not going to be able to do a full wraparound book cover with Canva. You would need to only just focus on just the front cover, which is okay, because from what I understand with Amazon or with CreateSpace, you can just upload the front cover image, and then they'll just use some sort of a solid color, I think, for the spine and the back. And, that might be sufficient for what you're going to do. The front cover is the thing you definitely need to be most worried about, though, that we've talked about so far. So getting to the point we were just talking about, Terrence, if all else fails, what do? We hire a professional, right?
Absolutely.
Yes. So CreateSpace offers premium services for cover design. I'm not sure what the pricing structure is on that. It seems like I've seen that you can do covers. I don't know if it's $149 or $349, but nevertheless, I know they have various tiered options depending on how fancy you want to get with a cover through them. They can have someone do a really professional cover for you. But then there are also other companies out there. You can just do a simple Google search for book cover design, and you'll get tons and tons and tons of websites that will offer different services. Some of them have ready-made covers that you can look through their catalog and pick one. And if you pick that particular cover, they'll pull it out of circulation, and then they'll get it ready for you for your book. And then those files could be used with CreateSpace or Ingram Spark, like we talked about in an earlier episode. So what experience have you had with working? I know you've worked with different professionals. I know you've worked with me before about, you know, different design work, like website design work and things like that. But, you know, how is it working, you know, as far as working with different artists to create? Well, I guess you with CreateSpace, you were able to just use a photograph, right? With that one
right,
book.
Right. Right.
Okay, I gotcha.
And I've worked with you on projects, of course, and that's been idyllic, of course, because Sarah can see my vision, and she really can run with it. She's one of those people that just, you know, so that's really been helpful. So
yeah, that's true. That's true. There's so many different. It's good if you can get to know a designer because as a writer, you know, whether you're traditionally published or you're independently published or whatever, there are going to be times when you are going to need, you know, you might need the services of a designer. Mm-hmm. Think about all the promotional media that writers need, and and publishers don't always pay for that stuff. They don't always.
Yeah, to that effect, I was going to say, I've been working with an artist for years for my ghost books. Mm-hmm. He does my illustrations. And that has nothing to do with the publisher, you know.
Okay, yeah.
That's up to you, you know, to sort out and all. And for me, I'm amazed at how many ghost books I have seen out there that have no images. They have no sketches.
Mm-hmm.
They have nothing like that. And I'm like, I cannot imagine writing a ghost book where you've got no photographs, you've got no sketches, you've got no, I mean, you know, that's just a book that screams, you know, for things like that. So I have an artist that I've done, and he's really quite capable. So I can tell him what the story's about, or I can actually send him a chapter, and he will create the perfect black and white sketch for that chapter.
That's right.
So that's really helpful. But if you have to be able to communicate with whoever is doing your work, whether it's an interior image or whether it's your book cover or whatever, you got to make sure that you're on the same page with where you see, you know, what you envision.
That's
is the
right.
same thing. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And so, you know, and there might be somewhere, like Terrence is mentioning, you're just hiring someone to do interior illustration type stuff. You know, you might be able to, if you're working with a small publisher, you might be able to get someone to do some sort of artwork that you might offer, you know, for your cover. And then that can be incorporated in to, you know, the end cover design that the publisher does for whatever book that you have, you know. Now, you know, the major publishing companies aren't going to consider that, but maybe smaller publishers will. I don't know. I've not worked with any of them. But
I think it really does depend on the quality of the artwork.
Mm-hmm.
I've been able to talk my publisher into using sketches that my artist has done to incorporate them into the book cover because they're that good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so the production department will take the image, and then they will, you know, add the title and the graphics, the little fonts and stuff like that. And it's, you know, and so sometimes I've been able to use, you know, able to come in through the back door and have a say in what my book cover is going to look like.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay,
because publishers do like to save money. So.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure if the author is able to produce any, you know, free artwork, so to speak. Well, it's not free necessarily to the author, but if they're able to produce any, you know, free artwork, then that's something that if it looks good enough, I'm sure they're going to be happy to consider that.
Yeah. Now, what I did with my artist was, you know, he would say, I can do this. I can do. He did one of the book covers. I do remember this now. He did a book cover. He asked me. He had one of the sketches I really liked. And he said, do you think that they'd be interested in this as a book cover? He said, I can design that and all. And I don't know what software he used, Sarah. I have no idea. But he did the black and white sketch. He had a color. And he did the whole layout for the book cover and everything. And so I asked the editor, I said, I really like this. What do you think? And so they talked to the artist and worked out a payment to him.
Okay.
And they did use his. And so that seemed like a win-win. I loved the cover. The artist got a book cover. He got extra payment. And the publisher was able to have a book cover without having to, you know, do too much. So that was a situation that really worked out well. So that's my experience there. So.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, well, so that the five things, just to recap what they are. Number one, you want a professional quality cover. Number two, you want a cover that's easy to read even when it's a small thumbnail. Number three, you need to consider your genre. You need to make sure that the font is fitting for the genre. You need to make sure that whatever imagery that you're using is fitting. You need to consider colors. Again, you might want to look at other best-selling books in the genre that you're planning to sell in, and you might get some ideas there. Number four, there are different tools that you can become familiar with to use in creating your own book cover if you want to try your hand at that. You will be able to, I should have mentioned this when I was talking about number four, whether you're using CreateSpace or Ingram Spark, once you choose the trim size for instance, a print book, they will give you, or you will be able to download a template that you would then be able to import into your software to build your cover. And so the different software I mentioned Photoshop, I mentioned Illustrator, I mentioned InDesign. Then I also mentioned the free services, the free service of Canva.com, and plus the images that you can get from Dollar Photo Club, and then you can also purchase elements from Canva.com. And then finally, if all else fails, hire a professional. And I will mention I do book cover design, so that's not my main thing, but I've done a lot of that. Website development is obviously is mostly my bread and butter right now. But nevertheless, you can certainly contact me through the website if you want to talk to me about that. And so, is there anything else that you'd like to add, Terrence?
Absolutely not.
Okay, that's fine. Well, that said, I guess that's the wrap for this show. So check the show notes. We're going to have a lot of information, a lot of links for you there. There's going to be some technical, you know, jargon there. Don't let that stress you out, because there are plenty of tools out there that can make this an easier process for you. But don't skimp on your cover. If you have to hire a professional, do it. Because otherwise, you might be spending months and months and months writing a book that no one's going to ever bother to pick up and read if the cover doesn't, measure up to what their expectations would be for something that they would be willing to pay for. So anyway, as always, you can listen to this podcast. You can subscribe through iTunes, A Writer's Journey. You can find backlist episodes on my website, which is sarahwhitford.com. That's sarahwhitford.com, or Terrence's website, which is terrencezepke.com, terrancezepke.com. And we have just a couple more episodes, I think, left in this season. Isn't that right?
Yeah, something like that. Maybe three or four.
Okay, all right. So, but this whole season we've been talking about, the business of publishing your book. The last season we were talking about the business of writing your book. The forthcoming season, Lord willing, we'll get there, will be about marketing your book. So be sure and check our backlist episodes and subscribe on iTunes so you can know when we have new episodes come out, and check out the show notes, and we'll look forward to having you with us again. Until next time.